Let us pray. O God of reconciliation and the Church universal, as we, the community of Christ, gather in worship, may we disperse as agents of Christ in mission. May our piety lead us to responsible engagement in the common life, discerning prophetic vision, discovering common responsibilities, and hearing the voice of the people in response to our obedience to you. Share with us your expansive vision so that we see our work in global dimensions. With our eyes focused on the incarnate Christ, move us toward the promise of life in the midst of death, riches in poverty, order in confusion, and victory in struggle, to the end that our calling, piety, gifts, and vision may grant us wise involvement, joyful discoveries, challenging frontiers, and vitality in all that we do. We offer this prayer in the name of that Christ who calls us forth. Amen. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Oh. For several summers, Southeastern Seminary and the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention have co-sponsored a seminar in church extension, or better known as church planting, throughout the United States. The student enrolls for academic credit, goes to a location, a field site, and serves under specialized supervision and receives an invaluable experience in the beginnings of planting a new church. In the summer of 1976, Southeastern Seminary people went to Chicago and spent 10 weeks in that major city. 1977, Southeasterners went to the city of Baltimore. And this summer, this past summer, we have gone to 6 states and 8 locations in those 6 states. And this morning, this service is dedicated to a summer of intense and most fruitful work. We're pleased to be here this morning. We are strong, I think, in the spirit and in the flesh after serving an intense summer. I want to introduce to you all of the participants in the seminar. And as I call their names, I want to ask them to stand both on the platform and in the audience. Mr. and Mrs. Doug Culp served in New York. The Culps are now residing in New York. The experience was so good that they decided to stay. Mr. and Mrs. Marty Kennedy, Marty and Connie, served in New York. Mr. and Mrs. Mike Lopez, Ann and Mike, served in Pennsylvania. Mrs. Rita Lawrence started out that way, and she became Mrs. Rita Rogers, and she served in Pennsylvania. Mrs. Renee Kimmer, Miss Renee Kimmer, served in Pennsylvania. Mr. and Mrs. Larry Arrowwood, Larry and Judy, served in Florida. Miss Mary Sumner also served in Florida. Mr. Steve Taylor in North Dakota. Mr. Bain Daniels also in North Dakota. Mr. and Mrs. Tal Talbert, Tal and Mary in Michigan. And Mr. and Mrs. Burt Wood, Carmen cannot be with us today, served in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, we're very pleased that they had this summer experience. And this service, hopefully, is an encouragement for many of us to consider the possibilities of summer work throughout selected areas in the United States. Soon, the Home Mission Board will provide applications for any of those who are interested in having this summer experience. Now, for the next few minutes, we will hear very brief statements from Larry Arrowwood, who served in Florida, Ann Lopez in Pennsylvania, and Tal Talbert in Michigan about their summer experience.
The first thing I would like to say to you is it certainly is an experience to serve with the Missions Board. My wife and I were chosen to go to Florida, and we worked as a team. We were fortunate that we could work as a team on these sites. We were assigned to a small place in central Florida called Howie in the Hills. That's a kind of an unusual name, but that's where we ended up at. There was another location nearby to it called the Springs. We also worked in that area. We worked out of the First Baptist Church of Tavares, which is a nearby church about 7 miles away, but we lived on the site in Howie on the Hill. We were working on our own. We did not go down and work with a group or anything like that. The entire job was carried by my wife and myself. And the Home Missions Board had told us before we left at the seminar that this was to be an extremely difficult job. Howie is a retirement type community. Most of the people are elderly, all over 50 years old, a great deal of them 65 or better, retired persons, probably middle-class people to upper-class people in that division. The First Baptist Church also was not very optimistic when we got down there. They told us about the best that we could expect probably was 5 or 6 people that we could gather together out of Howie and bring them into some ongoing mission. That was about the best that they could hope for down there. There was no Baptist work going on in the area at the time when we got down there. other Baptist work had been attempted, but had simply failed, actually lost some ground, I believe. We had to repair some damage when we went into the area. Other churches had also attempted. There was a small, and I mean small, Presbyterian church operating, which said it was a community church, but it was basically a Presbyterian church. Some of the people went to church there. They had one service morning, on Sunday morning, and that was it, only a preaching service. And it was a very social-type church. There was very little gospel moving out in that church. I would like to tell you ministers in here, and I want you to pay close attention to this, because we found over and over as we went through these places doing the survey, time and time again people would say, we went to the church, we did not find a warm welcome. And that was very surprising to me. Again and again they told us, we went to the church, we filled out the little cards, we checked for a visit by the minister, and we never got any reply whatsoever. And people take that very personally, and it had done quite a bit of damage in these neighborhoods, and we had to soothe quite a few ruffled feathers before we could bring anybody together. So, preachers, are you listening? Be very careful about that kind of thing. But we were optimistic. We had a strong sense of God being with us in this mission, and we believe that God can do anything regardless of what the Home Missions Board thinks or what the First Baptist Church of Tavares thinks. We feel that if God has the idea to do it, then if we'll put the legs to it, then God will succeed in the end. We also believe in prayer. We think that prayer causes things to happen. And missions is certainly a sure way to build a strong prayer life. Some of you will probably find that out. We began simply by going into Howie, began knocking on the doors to find out what the people's interests were. And we found that the strongest need in that area was for Bible classes, which we also preferred because we were set up more to do that than such as a Bible school. Howie is a retirement neighborhood, as I told you, and the hospital simply had no maternity ward, so there was not too much interest in a Bible school. So we opted for the fellowship Bible class. With all the pessimism in the area, we gained 17 persons to attend our first class, which was astounding to the church down there. It grew within two more meetings. We grew to 24 people, almost five times more than we could have done, but not five times more than God could do, and we figure that it's still growing. We had to move then to another location to work because we operated this club on the one hand and began surveying in another area to try to do the same thing. With much help once again, through much prayer also, we succeeded in that area. I should say God succeeded. We had very little to do with the work in that area because we simply struck out. We're simply knocked to our knees, but as long as you're on your knees anyway, you know, a good Baptist can simply ask for God's help, and God will usually come through for you, as he did for us time and time again. God worked miracles for us in that work over there, and we just simply stood back and watched it happen. God worked that Bible class into 17 members also on the first, and we expect this club to be stronger. We expect it to grow larger even than the Howie Club that we had just set up and were still operating. We expect these two Bible classes to continue to grow. The area is a very fast-growing area. We're also growing out of the area already. We expect people coming in to grow into these Bible classes. They're 5 miles apart. There's no land available in either area. There is land available right between the two, and that would be a very good place to put a good Baptist church. And land is available there, and it's reasonable, which it is not in the other areas there. So we expect a Baptist church to grow in that area. We have left them with the vision for a church. We instilled it into them so much as we could without being overbearing with them. We left them dreaming of a church. It is in their minds to form a church. When we first got there, the idea was that the two sections would not work together. When we left, they were talking about getting together and having one big meeting every 4 or 5 weeks. They wanted to get together. It's simply that nobody ever asked them if they would like to get together. People tell them they don't want to get together, but they never ask them. Of course they do. They want to get together and worship the Lord in a larger group. The entire experience was just that. It was quite an experience for us. I would like to speak to those of you who may not have a lot of experience. I certainly didn't in church work. This is a good way to start. And you learn from about 10 feet below bottom and you work up to that and then you continue going. There's very little that you can't find out in missions work. And if you want to know, that's a good place to start. Some of you who would like to test your faith perhaps sometime, it's a good place to do it. Or those who would like to witness God's power in unmistakable ways, I would advise you to try missions. Thank you very much.
When you hear of places like Scranton or Carbondale, Pennsylvania, you may immediately associate these with coal mining. Well, the big day of coal mining has come and gone, but you can still find some traces of it, like this piece of coal chopped out of one of its hillsides. Four of us from this seminary, Renee Cameron, Rita Rogers, and Mike, my husband, and myself, were sent to these areas, and we soon found that the work that we had to do was much like the work of coal mining. It was hard, and it was dirty, and it seemed like it would never end. But the light and the strength of the Lord were in us. Our time was spent in two main areas, in beginning new church work and in backyard Bible clubs. In the entire northeast section of Pennsylvania, there are only 3 Southern Baptist churches and 7 missions. The closest Southern Baptist church to Scranton was a 70-member mission church 40 miles away, itself sponsoring 3 missions. Until this time, this summer, Scranton was the largest city in the United States without Southern Baptist work. The church that we helped birth this summer was conceived in a Bible study group that had been meeting one night a week. We began with 3 members and about 15 to 20 people who would meet with us. And for the most part, they were unattractive and uneducated and immature. But they were what we had. They just weren't quite strong enough to build on. So one of our main concerns for this summer was to find a family, at least one family, that could join with us and lend some support and give strength and stability to the group that we had. And in July, the Lord met that prayer as He sent us a family, nearly doubled our membership to 5 members. We met over a bookstore in downtown Scranton in one big room, and we used refrigerator boxes for our classrooms to divide them up. So that briefly describes our church. The other chunk of our time was spent in backyard Bible clubs in Scranton and Carbondale, where we enrolled about 350 children. As we walked through these parks and apartment complexes, we saw child after child being beaten by parents. We saw children with their teeth rotting out from improper diet, too much sugar. We saw Bryce and Naaman, 2 beautiful little black boys whose mother never knew where they were because she was so spaced out on drugs. We saw a little girl, 5, and a little boy, 3, trying to carry out the act of intercourse in the dirt behind a garbage dumpster. We met the alcoholic parents. And those were days when I came home and was nauseated, and I was literally in pain. And when my praying was crying. But after seeing these walls that Satan had built so strongly, we saw the power of the Lord just crash through those walls and lead us into those areas and give us the opportunity to minister there where it had been impossible before. These are just sketchy descriptions of our summer, but there's some scripture that describes it just as well, and I'd heard it before and read it before, but God spoke it to me this summer. He said, "Behold, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white to harvest." And in an area just as dark and as black and as hard as this coal, the fields are white. Or as the Living Bible puts it, vast fields of human souls are ripening around us. The area is ready. God said that to me in Scranton, and I've come back here with this message. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
You can tell by Ann's discussion with you that there's a war going on out there. That war is between God and Satan. My bride and I had the pleasure of going up to Michigan this summer. We were in a place called Wixom, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. And our mission was to build a mission. Not physically build one, but to start one. And I'm here to praise the Lord that we accomplished that mission. From no people to 55 people in 10 weeks. During that 10-week time frame, my bride and I knocked on over 1,000 doors. She made over 100 follow-up telephone calls. Between the two of us, we prepared 30 sermons and Bible stories and studies. She played for 75 hymns, and she hadn't played a piano in Lord knows when. But when the other person quit, Mary had the job, and she prayed, and she said, "Father, how about giving me the talent again to play with these fingers?" And he did, and so we had a piano player. Thank you, darling. That was great. We met 200 new Christian acquaintances. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. We drove 8,000 miles in 10 weeks. And we spent, as Larry said a while ago, literally hundreds of hours in prayer. Because as Ann also said, you get very discouraged when you see the unhappiness and the things that are going on out there. And you say, "Boy, that was grand, Tal. Boy, look at that. 10 weeks you did all that." I didn't even scratch the surface, people. There are 9 million people live in Michigan. 6 million don't even go to church. Think of that. The entire state of North Carolina doesn't even get up and go to Sunday school or any kind of Bible study. That's the kind of people you're talking about you've got to deal with. But worse yet, is that in this world today, that between 6,000 and 7,000 people die every hour. Every hour. And they're estimating that half of those are not saved. If there's not a war going on out there, I don't know what it's all about. If I've seen people who are pioneer-minded, it's people in Michigan. And I keep reading all these stories about, well, the fact is we're going to have more pastors and more of these and more of that than we can seminaries can ever turn out. That's baloney. You want a job, you want to get some action, you get in the trenches in Michigan with the missionaries. And then you go over the top with Jesus Christ.
You hear our excitement and our testimony. Now please stand for the benediction. May he who died and rose again give you courage and strength as you share that love and peace with others. Amen.